new beginning.
Yep. Here we go.
Sure feels different than last year.
It does. Although, you know, there's always that level of anxiety and worry, but at least it's not like, oh my God, the entire program could be crumbling before our eyes.
I mean, well, it's not just the beginning of a new year, but it feels like a beginning of another one of those 3-year Ferencian cycles.
Correct.
Where we're on the upswing and then, you know, anyway, I'm James Bladel.
And I'm Tori Brecht.
And welcome to belated kickoff to the 12 Saturdays.
What do you mean it's belated? We're sitting here on the eve of the kickoff of the college football season. It's Thursday night. We're watching some games.
Okay, so it's...
We're not like all these professional podcasters with their fancy 2 weeks out. Who wants to hear that?
With their skills and their competence.
And getting paid.
Exactly.
Lame.
Well, but, you know, you bought into the hype somewhat.
Oh, I don't.
You're calling for 9-3. That was your article, right?
Yeah, in the column this week, I did the, you know, you have to do a prediction column because it's just like, apparently par for the course. So you look at that schedule and it's been beaten to death, but man, it's hard to find losses on there. If we actually have an Iowa team that we think is even above average. I mean, I'm not saying this is an all-time great. I don't know that this is 2002, 2004, certainly. I don't know if it's 2009, which arguably might have been actually better than 2004.
I think it was.
But, you know, a solid team that doesn't maybe have a lot of depth, but looks good if they stay healthy like they did last year. I mean, it's hard to pick out losses on there, isn't it?
I think mostly, but as you, I think, touched on in your column, there is always that head scratcher, that, you know, smack your forehead is how did you walk out of there? And usually it's Iowa State or Northwestern.
Right.
You know.
Or Minnesota on a time to time.
Yeah, Minnesota.
Here's something, though. I got a little pushback on that from some folks, and they asked me, well, in the last two seasons, who has been that kind of pee down your leg loss? And I said, well, I think, you know, to me last season, because it's not just about
the Central Michigan.
But that wasn't last season.
It was 2 seasons ago.
That was 3 seasons ago.
It was 2012.
No. Central Michigan was...
2012.
Was in 2011.
No. That was 2012.
I don't think so.
Yeah. 2012 is when we had all those problems.
Okay.
2012 is when we beat Michigan State, and then the wheels came off. We didn't win again.
But the year, there was 1 year prior to that. I can't remember. But like last year, I said that I thought it was the Northern Illinois game. And not because they weren't a good team, because they obviously were. They won a lot of games. But in my definition of peeing down your leg, it's when you let a game that should be a win slip out of your grasp.
Yes.
And that's how I felt that game was. I mean, Iowa didn't control the game super easily, but they looked to be the better team for the majority of it, had control of it to a certain extent, and then just collapsed in the fourth quarter.
We had it's funny how you can actually survive those types of games when you recover onside kicks.
Sure.
Because I was looking back to 2012, and not only did that happen with Central Michigan, but it happened with, I believe, you know, Northwestern. And I guess the closest one would have been Northwestern. You know, the fact that they came back on us and took us into overtime, and it took that overtime victory, that would be a close one. Another one might be, I don't know. Last year felt like one of those years where you won the games you were supposed to win.
Correct.
You lost the games you were supposed to lose. Mm-hmm. Maybe Michigan and Nebraska were a couple of wins that we stole. I don't think anybody was predicting us to win against Michigan and Nebraska.
No, and I was looking back at that, and you know, we caught Nebraska at such a great time, too. I mean, their quarterback was out. There were questions about whether their coach would come back.
Yeah.
If you're going to go in and beat them in Lincoln, you know, we had the perfect storm going there. So, no, I overall, I mean, you got to feel good coming off. I felt good at the Outback Bowl. I mean, it sucked to lose, but, you know, I was there at the game, and Iowa looked like they belonged on the field with LSU for the most part. I mean, LSU looked better, but not as better as we've seen other teams look against them, especially you know, as you mentioned, 2012 and even times in 2011 where Iowa just looked like a JV squad out there against the top yeah. level opponent. So especially, it feels like we're back to competing at higher levels.
Especially again. When you look at, and I was just playing, I think, a YouTube clip of that onside kick against Central Michigan, and you watched a couple players just actually watch the ball go right by him. You know, you're like,
well, you know, I'd forgotten. I was kind of in preparation for the season. I rewatched the Iowa-Iowa State game from last year, which, by the way, Iowa totally dominated that game and then just
and still almost lost.
That one was almost a feet on your leg game. And the onside kick recovery had never amounted to anything for Iowa State in that game because we got the ball back on that great one-handed interception right after that. But that one literally went right between the hands of the guy who's designated to be the guy who catches the ball. Yes. That's like, your only job is to go there. The ball's going to hit here, bounce here, probably around your head, right about your head height. It did exactly that, and no, it was bad.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. But hopefully that's behind us. So why do we always have to go pick at the
scabs? We're reopening some old wounds. But it looks good. I mean, everything's looking up, and someone actually posted, I think it was on Hawkeye Report, posted an analysis of why they believe 2015 is actually setting up with a tougher schedule, but 2015 is actually maybe setting up even better.
Well, now, let's get through this.
But what's funny is that the last time I heard that is when people were saying, you know, 2009 is going to rock, but 2010 is the year. That's when all the stars are going to line up, schedule, talent, experience, whatever. And that's one of the reasons why I still consider 2010 to be the biggest disappointment.
Disappointment front.
I mean, look at the NFL rosters now that are...
But as you and I have talked about ad nauseum, again, you know, the people that predicted that were right in a sense in that Iowa competed at a championship, Big Ten championship caliber level that entire season, bar the Minnesota game.
And the Northwestern game.
That was such a storm of weirdness, though, with the massive injury and throwing a new quarterback in. I mean, that, you know.
Well, and it was the defensive meltdown, too, seeing Adrian Claiborne on the side gasping for air, you know. Right. So you're thinking 9-3. You're thinking,
Right. Well, and you know how I always...
like the Pitt game, right? Is that what you...
No, I don't. I always like to... especially with Iowa being very difficult to prognosticate. Although I was pretty close last year. I had 7-5.
Yeah.
And I think all of our losses came from the pods of losses that I predicted. Because you know, I like to kind of pick the pods.
Right.
So when I say 9-3, my thoughts are, you know, one of the out-of-conference games is probably going to be a loss.
And you're saying that's just Pitt.
History. Most likely away at Pitt.
All right.
I don't think Iowa State's very good this year. You and I scares me a little bit. We'll talk about that in a little bit. Ball State, they were good, but they're replacing their quarterback. And so I guess the at-Pitt game really scares me. And then I do think, in all likelihood, we'll probably split Wisconsin-Nebraska.
Yeah.
You know,
And then where's that third loss?
This will be sacrilege to some, but I would almost rather lose to Nebraska this time because we kind of got them in the rearview mirror and we got to beat Wisconsin. And then I think that we're going to get one of those, at least on paper, inexplicable losses. And I think it's going to be out of the grouping of Northwestern, Minnesota, or even maybe at Maryland. Just being a...
I'd throw Indiana in that mix, too.
Yeah, I would be more concerned with Indiana if it wasn't at Kinnick. You know, yeah. I think our defense...
I just remember that one dude doing the... somersault right in the end zone right in front of us when they
were. That was a long time ago.
I know, but it just hurts, man. It's trauma.
But yeah, you know, I think that there's definitely some potholes on the way in.
Yeah.
You know, the easy schedule in quotes, you know, the Iowa players have even talked about that. You know, this is Big Ten football. This is Division I college football. There's no
gimmies
really for anybody anymore. I mean,
except Purdue. Except and Illinois.
Yeah.
So,
although, you know, Illinois has this hot shot quarterback transfer in, so
we'll see.
Games in Champagne.
Yeah, I see, you know, I didn't weigh in on your prediction article, but I see 8-5 again.
8-4.
Oh, I'm sorry, 8-4 again. I see, you know, another loss in the non-conference. I see two inexplicable losses, or I see us dropping both of those games, the Nebraska-Wisconsin games.
So I guess the big question with that prediction is, would that feel like a disappointing season to you or not?
With this schedule, yeah, I think it would. I think eight wins on this schedule means that you're still kind of feeling out the Greg Davis experiment. You're still kind of, you know, the talent that we seem to believe that we have on this team is really a comparison to what came before and not necessarily a fair comparison about what else is out there in the league. And,
so
and
what's your driving factor for it? What's changed? Why are they going to underachieve?
Somebody
this
is
year
going to be
overachieve
in, somebody's going to get injured. We're going to have some key injuries, perhaps linebacker, perhaps on the O-line, mm-hmm. perhaps somebody, you know, and it's going to hurt us. And, mm-hmm. and the reason for that is that everybody does. At some point, everybody has that injury that they just sure. cannot substitute around or you know, game plan around. And I feel like we're
maybe,
especially susceptible to that this year.
But maybe this year is the year it doesn't happen.
That was last year.
Because it's happened in Northwestern already, but their injuries and then Benrick Mark transferring. Braxton
How great
Miller.
Was that, by the way?
Yeah, I know. No, we don't wish injuries upon each other.
No, we don't.
Oh, the
wish
transfer.
The transfer.
Oh yeah, everybody should transfer from every Big Ten school.
Because you know, Pat Fitzgerald cried in his pillow that night.
You know, and then you see the big Braxton Miller injury.
Now, that is just
for
weird.
Ohio State. So, you know, I'm thinking, you know, knock on wood, but I'm actually agree with you. In fact, I mentioned that in the column as well, is that we're thin, and then you couple that with. Everybody says, well, you know, if healthy, but it's this football, man. No,
nobody gets
healthy,
away with
doesn't
that.
Really. I mean, if,
nobody gets to the end of the season without some sort of gut check moment.
Correct.
And I think the concern is, does that happen in your first couple of games? And what was that, 2012, when our two running backs went down within a couple of plays of each
you know,
other?
No, that was at Penn State, and then you lost Scherf and who was the other offensive lineman that on two consecutive plays also. And I mean, and then everything just spiraled out of control in that game and in the season.
We had Garmin running. Right. We lost, didn't we lose Kanzeri and,
I don't even think Kanzeri was on the
radar
back then. But you know, what's interesting to me though is, you know, I'll be curious to see how we do without those three NFL caliber linebackers.
I think we're going to be okay.
I do too. But, how quickly, you know? Remember, James Morris starting as a freshman was a little hairy at times. And then he turned into what he turned into, which was an outstanding player. So,
and maybe part of that is because he got so much exposure.
Sure.
At that age.
Oh, I think there's no doubt about that.
I mean, I think that the talent is there. I mean, look at, you know, mm-hmm. look at Dez King.
Yeah.
I mean, that guy is going to mm-hmm. close down that corner. And I have bought into that hype.
Yeah.
On the other side, question mark.
Yeah. You know the hype I bought into? Is some of the talk about having the newness of the coaching staff sort of gelling into a new look for an Iowa staff, maybe a more aggressive, younger, less conservative type of approach to mm-hmm. both recruiting and to gameplay.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's one of the things that I don't think Ferentz gets enough credit for. We joke around about how stubborn he is, and there's no doubt he's stubborn. And
punting is winning.
Well, right.
We don't have a punter yet.
But I think at the end of the day, he is willing to reevaluate and then try new things only on his own terms and his own schedule. And
his
I think
timeline.
That we're, I think we're very much into that now. And I'm excited to see it continue because I felt like last year it was like the seed had germinated.
The hybrid year between.
Hoping that we see the blossoming this year and we just come out and kick ass. So.
Well, we'll see. I mean, I think that we're still hearing that, you know, Davis is still building his offensive scheme around Ken O'Keefe style players to some extent. But his guys are in the pipeline.
Quick, fast wide receiver type.
He's getting
stuff,
more of his receivers. But now the passing game, you know, I mean, if you want to talk about something that. Not only is there room for improvement, but really has to improve. Mm-hmm. If you're going to build on that, you're going to get that 9-3 and build from there. It's not that they did anything wrong. It certainly weren't a liability.
They need to be more explosive.
Yeah. They need to actually just take that step from managing the game to being playmakers
right.
and being that,
getting,
you know,
some
that
big,
threat.
More big plays.
Exactly.
Less interceptions.
Less interceptions, but, you know, really just more productive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's almost like, what was that year that it was 08, I think. It was before Ricky, you know, became like mm-hmm. the Rick Six.
Right, right.
You know, and it was the idea that, and almost 2010 was like this a little bit too. It's like, it's almost like somebody got in Ricky's head and said, you throw way too many interceptions. And
right.
so he got a little more conservative.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't as explosive. He wasn't, you know, as, you know, he didn't
dynamic.
Dip into his improvisational skills. Mm-hmm. But he, But yes, he made fewer mistakes. And I think it's almost like somebody started with that, with Rudock.
Mm-hmm.
Don't make mistakes. Right. And, you know, and that, so let's see if he can kind of transition and make that next step. Otherwise, what do you think? Do we have a, I don't think we have a QB controversy, but people still don't kind of, it doesn't sit well, the idea that CJ Beathard is just, you know, going to be the backup for the next year.
I think that's just
years.
Human nature, though. I mean, the cliche is that the most popular player on any team is the backup quarterback, and that's college and pro. I mean, it's always the unknown could be better. You know, the familiarity breeds contempt, and I think
that's
definitely
true. But
he's
not that
unknown.
I mean, he played in the bowl game, for crying out loud.
Not that well, either.
Well, no, he's more of a wild card.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, and I think people kind of like that, too. You know, he's got the long hair, he runs around and chucks the ball where he wants, kind of got the Drew Tate thing going on.
Yeah, a little bit.
Who wouldn't want to see that?
Yeah,
you know, because I mean, in some ways, I think Rudock is sort of like a better version of James Vandenberg, and you know how that kind of fits with people.
Exactly.
So, you know, I think Vandenberg. Ferentz actually addressed it in his long press conference that he feels Vandenberg was really just a victim of circumstance and the changeover of brand new, not just whole new schemes, but a whole new vocabulary.
I think he was a victim of circumstances. Marvin McNutt graduated.
Well, that was a problem as well.
I feel bad for the guy.
Yeah, exactly.
His numbers took a big hit. So,
but overall, I think, you know, I'll tell you this, what we are in for, I think, I don't see any Iowa getting beat down anywhere on the schedule. So at the very least, we should be in for a hell of an entertaining ride of close, exciting games, because, you know, that's sort of the Iowa way anyway.
Yeah.
So, I mean, can you imagine a lot of games where we won't be in a position to win?
No. I can't think of a game where we won't be competitive. And I can't think of a game where we will salt it away at halftime.
Exactly.
You know, maybe, like I said, Purdue, maybe.
Right.
Maybe Illinois.
Yeah. Hopefully you and I.
Well, you know, let's put a pin in that. So, so we wanted to talk a little bit about this year's podcast and how we want to approach some ideas that we wanted to talk about. The format we wanted to talk about. Do we want to bring up my absences?
We could do that.
And just the
we
idea
might have
that,
a new co-pilot on a couple of
these. I'll try to be at least, even if it's just making a cameo appearance.
All right, to continue my analogy, we might have you, you know, pop your head in the cabin door to say hi and tell us how
just want to let you know. We're all counting on you.
Exactly.
Good luck.
But we might need a new co-pilot.
Yeah.
So
and we have one picked out, although he's pissing me off tonight.
Well,
social network du jour. But,
well, you know that happens.
But and we also talked about getting some of your friends and colleagues from mainstream sports media to weigh in, perhaps on just life in general.
Maybe and, just regular media.
Yeah. Sure.
Also. So, yeah, well, I think it'd be fun to get them in and talk maybe not about sports, but we'll talk about sports a little bit
with
them too. But you don't get to hear what their real lives are like.
Oh, and I should say, it's not because I've lost my passion for the podcast or for all the money that we rake in by doing this. It's more of a question of just the travel schedule and the next. Okay. It's going to be a little brutal, but, you know, the internet doesn't save
somehow
itself.
You'll muddle through.
So be aware, be apprised of that. And hey, if you've got a good idea of someone, or maybe you out there listening, maybe all 12 of you.
I keep telling you, I think we're up to like 109 now.
You think so?
I don't know.
How many? Those are the people that download it and then they get a little notification on their on their podcast app and they're like, oh, those assholes.
As long as it auto downloads, that's all I
exactly.
care. It still counts. Right?
Exactly.
It's like a impression on Facebook. Or
it's a like.
It counts for me.
And then it's like somebody in a Thai prison that's hitting the like button 30 times a second, you know, for a bowl of rice or something. So, yeah. But anyway, we'll figure it out. We always do.
Correct.
Which is, you know, I think really speaks to the quality of the product that we put out there.
Well, let's talk about those Northern Iowa Panthers, the mighty, mighty Panthers, the pride of the Waterloo Cedar Falls metropolitan area.
They scare me a little bit.
They're a salty bunch for an FCS team, aren't they?
They're ranked
ninth.
Ninth? Okay.
Yeah.
I knew it was top 10. I knew it was single digits.
And they have, what did I read? 70 other players are from the state of Iowa. So they don't have chips on their shoulders. They have like giant boulders on their shoulders coming into this game, like, including their star running back, who some people say is the third best player on the field this week. David Johnson, not a Clinton. Johnson.
Yeah.
So
they make me nervous. I mean, you think about 09. Think about what happened there. You know, it took a miracle. Some might say, brought on by your son's powers of telekinesis in blocking field goals. So we have that, holding on by our fingernails. But then launched the amazing season.
The thing to keep in mind about that season, though, is that we didn't have an offense yet at that point.
Do we now?
Well, we have at least a theoretical offense. I mean, at that point,
give ball, Mark.
But that was Mark Weissman's coming out party, remember? He went into that game.
No, not in 09.
Oh, I think it was.
No, in 09? That was...
Oh, no, that was 2012.
Yeah,
it was 2012.
2012, yeah.
Okay. But, you know, that 2009, I think we were still in the, you know, how good can rookie Stansy be mode. I think
we had the three-headed... running back that nobody really...
Well, you know who started at running back that game.
That was Jewel Hampton.
No.
It wasn't?
The Packy Bomb.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, they didn't start Jewel Hampton?
Packy Bomb was the starting...
Jewel Hampton started in...
Was the starting tailback in 2009.
And then he hurt in Arizona, and that was it.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, man. What could have been with Jewel Hampton?
No, what could have... We don't want to go down that road. We'll be here all night. So Marcus Coker has a one-game suspension.
Really?
Something detrimental to team rules. It's just so funny when you keep hearing these names and you're like, oh, I know that guy. And, well, there's two guys on
well, you
Northern
know, we've
Iowa.
Done a really good job of exporting players here for the last couple of years.
But we're settling in with what we want. But, I mean, I guess, you know, they're solid on defense. They have a defensive lineman that's, you know, Big Ten size. He's like 6'3". 300 pounds, something like that, a disruptive force. But,
it's going to feel like one of those games where they just hang around.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they hang around for 2.5, 3 quarters. And mm-hmm. I feel like maybe we just, you know, wear them out.
I think we can ground and pound. I think, again, staying healthy, but on both lines. And that's the other reason it feels so good about this Iowa team is that the lines are just solid.
Are you sold on the defensive line?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I think, especially at defensive tackle, they're really...
Well, yeah, but we're not really that far removed from the wet paper towel that we were putting out there a couple years ago.
Yeah. No, I think much like some of the early Ferentz teams that were very developmental, I think that it's been trial by fire with some of these guys, and you've got, you know, some sturdy veterans that are ready to shine right now, and I feel good about that.
So you're thinking it's another close game with you and I until what, the fourth quarter?
I think so. You know, early fourth quarter, we'll start to, especially if they do what they promise they're going to do, which is limit Weissman early and then bring him in to just go into beast mode at the end.
Yeah.
I think that is a really,
really
good
recipe
for this
game. It's really great how they put that in, like, you know, the public domain, by the way, too.
But what are you going to do? Yeah. I mean, it doesn't matter. If you have a fresh Mark Weissman coming at tired defenders, you know, you can – well, you saw it in times last year. You saw it in games last year where, you know, everybody in the world sees them audible to the stretched left play behind Scherf and Fedorowicz.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you might as well have held up the sign saying what you're going to do, and you got 5, 6, 7 yards over and over again. Yep. And I love that kind of football. I mean, I know some people are like, it's boring, Kirk Ferentz, boring. No, when you just, like, one of our players used the phrase, whenever you move a man against his own will, it's the greatest feeling in the world.
Or what was that guy?
As a fan, I feel that way. As a fan, that's what I like to watch,
too. It was the guy from UNI that said something about... You know, he's commenting on Weissman.
That's a lot of meat
coming at you.
Exactly.
Yeah, and it is true. And I mean, you think about, like, I keep thinking about that run that he had against Nebraska, where, you know, they knew what was going to him. They knew which side he was going to run to. They put everybody over there.
Yeah.
And he just bounced off two and carried two more into the end zone.
You see, Jim, that's execution.
Yeah, well.
I know, that's your favorite word.
That is my favorite word. It is like, you know, I knew what I was supposed to do. I just didn't do it.
So
you're going to go on a score here?
See, I knew you were going to ask me that because I think I wrote one down in the column and now I'm forgetting it. But I'm feeling like it's a 14-point win. You know, something.
Two scores.
I'm thinking it's something like, you know, 28-14.
Okay.
Maybe, you know, 34-17, something in that. But I think it could be tied at halftime.
Yeah.
I really do.
I think it's a two-score game, but I think it's a 10-point game.
Okay.
And I think it's 27-17.
Okay. I guess then if I'm going to say actually on the record, I will go, you know, I'm bad at math. 31-17. That's two touchdowns, right?
It's three touchdowns. It's four touchdowns and a field goal.
Right, to two touchdowns and a field goal. So that's a 14-point win.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Oh, I thought you were doing subtraction. I was like, how do you get to 31?
No, I'm 31. Just bad at math. I was trying to. I thought 31-17 was a 14-point win, but I needed affirmation.
Nope.
So that'll be my call.
And so which player, so going back to kind of the Iowa side of the ball, which player are you just like, cannot wait to see them shine this year?
I'm looking forward to seeing the unleashed Jordan Kanzeri. I think we started to get a taste of that last year. From all accounts, he's faster, bigger, stronger, all of those good adjectives now. I really would like to see us develop a real solid 1-2 punch with Weissman and Kanzeri.
So I'd like to see Dez King.
Yeah.
Actually get a couple of interceptions and pick sixes.
Oh, yeah. That
would be fun. I think for all of the hype that he's got coming into this game, he didn't have any interceptions.
I don't think so. You know, just blanket coverage. I think a lot of times people stop.
It'd be interesting to see
him
then take the next step and actually start, you know, scoring.
I'm excited to see these younger tight ends, too. I mean, I can't stop thinking about, you know, was it Doozy that just obliterated the secondary of Ohio State?
He did not even crack the two deeps.
Yeah, so how good are the rest of these guys, right?
Yeah, it's and then I would like to see, people are talking about the younger, you know, I didn't make it to either of the scrimmages, the spring or the fall scrimmage, so I don't know about the what is his name, Wiles or Willis or whatever the guy's
name. Oh, the Rock Island kid.
Yeah.
Derek Willis, I think.
Yeah, I didn't see it. So I haven't bought into that.
Well, you know what?
I want to see Hillier. I want to see Vandenberg. I want to see Tevon Smith.
Yeah.
These guys were exciting to me last year, and I want to see what another year me does too. For these guys.
My brain just can't process a Rock Island kid being an outstanding wide receiver like that, because for years and years and years and years, my buddy lives right over by Rock Island High School, so I usually go to a game or two there. And talk about ground and pound. I mean, I've been to games a few years ago. They didn't throw it. Once. They were running like the triple wing option still. Yeah, and so I'm like, how did this guy get really good at catching the ball if no one ever threw it to him? So I guess I'm kind of, I'll believe it when I see it, but I'm anxious to see it.
Yeah, I know the wide receivers, the tight ends, but I mean, I don't have to be sold on the freshman tight ends. Just the 2-deep has got me excited. I want to see, besides Reggie Spearman and Quentin Alston, I want to see,
some of those young guys they're saying are really good. I didn't even recognize from the recruiting. Like, what was it? Bo something?
Bowen,
and then,
I know.
Again, we have done our homework.
Yeah, exactly. This is the quality podcast that you get when you pay your subscription to 12 Saturdays, which is, free. I believe, zero. So.
Get what you pay for.
You do.
Well, we're going to know their names by the end of this season.
And then people on Hawkeye Report will get this, is that this is a minimum wage podcast.
Yeah, absolutely.
The actual minimum, zero.
Right.
I mean, short of sending all of our listeners a check for 27 cents, we really can't go any lower.
Why 27? Where'd you pick that up?
Well, divided by our time.
Okay. See, there you go.
By
with
the
math
12.
Again. I was specifically told there would be no math on this podcast.
Exactly. All right, so you're thinking a win, you and I.
I think we win until Pitt.
Win until Pitt, and that's week 4?
Something like that.
Yeah.
And then.
Now, hold on.
But if we win that.
We get out of the non-conference with unblemished. Now you're saying that the snowball is starting to roll downhill?
I think if we get out of the non-conference unblemished, we're looking at max 2 losses. I really do.
So now you're upgrading to 10-2 if we go.
Well, I picked 9-3 with a loss to in the non-conference.
Okay.
So, I mean, that's
fantastic.
Math again.
There you go.
A math-heavy podcast this week. But yeah, no, I mean, then you get out of the non-conference unscathed, which we don't do a lot, and I think you start to think big. Why not?
Yeah.
Because, you know, last year they definitely got better as the season wore on. I think we're back to that style.
Cool.
So
I'm trying to figure out, I looked at the calendar. I think that the good news is I miss some away games and I miss some bye weeks. So I'm traveling a lot this year.
Are there three byes?
Something like that.
Which is crazy.
Yeah. But I think I miss, for sure, going to miss Indiana.
Okay.
And for sure going to miss, is Northwestern at Kinnick? Is that an away game?
It's at Kinnick.
Okay. So I'm definite gone for those two games.
Well, it's probably good that you're going to miss Northwestern.
Because I hate that freaking game.
Well, not, but they tend to, like, play really well when you're there. Northwestern. That is.
Yeah,
plays really well when you're there.
Also, our seats change.
I think so it's because you kind of look like Pat Fitzgerald.
Well, because I can't yell at him.
I know.
Our seats are on now. We've reshuffled. And
well, if he doesn't have his doppelganger screaming at him, maybe he'll be less motivated.
Yeah, except for 09 when he came up and screamed at me. One of the reasons why I hate that guy.
I think that was in your imagination.
No, I was there. He did a little wildcat cheer right in front of our section. That's so where did they move the visitors?
Apparently, like, way up in the northwest stands in the corner.
And where did they move those poor souls?
Wherever they could get seats, I guess. I don't know.
I don't.
Hopefully, at least they won't be on TV all the time like they used to be.
That's true.
So,
yeah. I'm looking forward to our new seats.
Yeah. Jim and I upgraded.
Yes, we got an upgrade. We went from
the goal line.
The goal line to
like 15?
15, yeah. You know,
big spenders.
Yeah, exactly.
High rollers.
Oh, you know, we're rolling in all that podcast money.
Exactly.
It's on the field.
Yep.
Wow. Well,
yeah, we'll be there, and I think hopefully it won't be 119 degrees like it was last
year. No, I think it's supposed to rain all day.
Well, that's better than 119 degrees. And
how great is it to be talking about football?
Oh, dude. My gosh.
Jeez.
I know.
After January, it's like, you know, and you're into basketball,
yeah.
And that's awesome.
Yeah.
But, like, I really feel like waking up from a nightmare.
Well, and you know, I like soccer, too, so I actually had the World Cup this year, too. So, for me, it was an okay. The hiatus wasn't as bad. It was basically just getting through August.
I was forced to like soccer because I was in Europe when that was going on. And those people are freaking insane.
Of course. Yeah.
But I was unfortunately surrounded by Germans.
They won.
They were happy.
They're like the Ohio States of Europe.
They kind of are.
You know, they actually kind of are, too, because they kick everybody's ass. And then when it's the big game, somebody bigger and better comes and kicks them out. So what I am doing is equivocating Ohio State with Nazism.
Really?
But I think we can all get behind that.
Oh, absolutely.
Right?
I mean,
they're definitely the Nazis of the
Sure,
Big Ten.
Absolutely. I mean, Trestle? Absolutely.
Hitler.
Definitely. So, all right.
I guess
that's probably as good a point as any to end. When you get to the Nazis in your podcast,
we just got with our own podcast, didn't we?
All right. So, hey, I'm really looking forward to the game.
Yep.
Really looking forward to get back into Kinnick. And just, you know, let's see what this younger team can do.
Remember to follow us at 12 Saturdays. That's 1-2 Saturdays on Twitter.
Yeah.
We're even funnier on Twitter than we are out loud.
I think so. Mostly during away weeks because we can't get a freaking signal during the games.
That is true.
Yeah. But, all right. Well, with that, we'll just say, on Iowa.
Go Hawks.